Great. Well, do you know, I don't know why people don't like coming to church. When you get the presence of God, it just changes everything. And this morning, when I follow on our little series on restoration, Hugh started it a couple of weeks. Then Joe last week talked a bit about Peter and that whole thing of his big restoration. And I want to look at the subject of restoring our cutting edge, because how many of us know that life can sometimes just get on top of us a bit? And we look back, if we've been a Christian a while, sometimes we can look back and say, yeah, that season, I really felt, you know, I was cutting it. It really seemed to, you know, the sense of the presence of God, everything I touched was had the favour of God on it. Anybody ever had seasons like that? Yeah? Still here. Fantastic. Absolutely. And I think God wants us to walk in that more and more and more. And we can lose that sense of cutting edge for a variety of reasons, can't we? So, could be this morning that health seems to be robbing you a little bit, and you just feel that that health is robbing you of that cutting edge in your life. It could be a bit of a loss of focus on the Lord. It could be that my daily devotions aren't quite what they used to be. You know, there's all sorts of things that sort of creep in over time, aren't there? And we can tend to quickly lose that sense of the cutting edge. And this morning I want to just look for a few moments to a young guy. Well, no, I'm not sure the Bible tells us he's young, but in my mindset, he's younger. And it's a young guy who the equivalent today is somebody like going to Bible college. And if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to a passage in a moment. Let me just read this verse first. Ecclesiastes 10. If the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Now, I am not an expert with axes. Don't know if there's anybody in the room who is. Where is he? Matt, is this true? Relatively. So you're saying the Bible is relative. Listen what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, if you ask me to cut down a tree, it could take 6 hours, but I'll spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe. I'm not going to argue with Abraham Lincoln. Sometimes there are things that we can do, and almost routine things that almost don't seem like they're getting the job done, but actually prepare us for getting the job done. Yeah? So sharpening the axe, keeping it sharp, etc. I want to think about that a little bit. But I want to go to this biblical example. As I say, it's like a Bible student who loses his cutting edge. And if you've got your Bibles, go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we'll read the first 7 verses. And it says, the company of the prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went down to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head flew into the water. Imagine it. You're hacking away at your tree because you're going to build this place where you can meet together with these fellow prophets and with Elisha himself and get teaching and encouragement from him. And you're building this place and it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be wonderful. And you're hacking away and all of a sudden your axe head flies off. Bad enough in itself. But then it lands in the river. And he says, oh no, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and he threw it in there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. And the man reached out his hand, and he took it. Wow. Great story. Little story, short story, 7 verses. But I think there's one or two things that can help us in that passage if we are looking to restore our cutting edge. Number one, I think when we sense that bit of loss of our cutting edge, I think firstly we've got to admit it. We've got to admit it. It's true about anything that we lose, isn't it? It's that sense of diminishing in our lives. We've got to face up to truth sometimes. The fact that something is missing, so something of lack. Verse 5, as one of them was cutting down the tree, the iron fell into the water. "Oh, my Lord," he cried, "it was borrowed." The axe was so important for the job at hand. All he had in his hand now was the piece of wood. And not a lot of good for chopping down a tree. And I think so often restoration, restoring something like this of a cutting edge, starts with a bit of self-examination. Where am I today in my walk with God? You know, when we come together, and we did it last week, we shared communion together, and Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of among you have fallen asleep. Feel a bit sleepy? Don't look at the person next to you. Examine yourself. Paul again looks at this in his next letter, his second letter to Corinthian church, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Whoa, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Test yourself. Are you in the faith this morning? Test yourselves. Test yourselves. So I think firstly we've got to recognize when perhaps we're not at that cutting edge as we'd like to be, hope to be, or have been in the past. And admit it. Put our hands up. Yes, Lord. But then recognize that this ability to have a cutting edge to our Christian life is not something we can generate on our own. The young man said, oh no, it is borrowed. It wasn't his. The axe was not his. But he was using it. How many of us know that to live this Christian life, we haven't got the capability in and of ourselves? But it's the gifts of God and the gift of God working in us that enable us to be who he wants us to be. Again, the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 4, he says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? In other words, he's saying to the church at Corinth, look, to be all that God wants you to be and to do all God wants you to do is going to take more than you have in you naturally. It's going to take supernatural empowering by the gifts of God's Spirit in and through your life. His power is a gift that we can all tap into. Just nudge the person next to you and say, that's you as well. Every one of us can tap into this gift of power. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power, I'm going to ask you questions on this, so read this, okay? His divine power has given you everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Okay, look at the screen. Whose power is it? This is not a trick question. Whose power is it? God's. Who's he given it to? Right. What's it good for? Oh, you're not so sure now, are you? It's good for everything. Every part of your life. Not just coming here on a Sunday morning or meeting with your group, if you're in one of our small groups. Everything. God is interested in every moment of your life. You could be chopping down a tree and he's interested. It's not our own. It's his gift. It's his power. It empowers us for kingdom expansion in our own lives, in the lives of those around us, and in the world around us. Okay, final question. Where does that power reside? Dig a bit deeper. In the knowledge of him. How are we going to get it? Because it is for us, but we've got to tap into it. But it's in the knowledge of him. And there are things we can do to see that knowledge of him increase in our lives. It's worship, it's prayer, it's reading and studying God's word. And there are times and seasons that sometimes God calls us to do certain elements of that. And he doesn't call everybody to the same things. And we've got a young man here this morning. In fact, he's been out to the front and already been praying. So I'm going to invite Tom out, because Tom is going to be tapping into a little bit more of the word of God than many of us have been called to do. Tom here, next month, is embarking on a 3-year study course at Mattersea Bible College. And I've asked him just to share a very quick why. Go on, Tom, go for it.
I'm going to...
It is on.
Hello? Okay, so I'm going to Mattersea Hall. It's in Bortree near Doncaster. And why am I going? I'm going to widen my tent pegs and... and grow my spiritual capacity to grow and become the man that God has for me to be.
Brilliant.
I'm going to Mattersea to grow, to develop understanding, to expand in knowledge, and a growing dependency upon God. Getting out of comfort zones will strengthen, will build character, and will develop maturity as I prepare for the life God has set before me, for me to do, and to be a vessel available for the Holy Spirit, for him to guide my every journey of following my master, my father, and ultimately my friend. Through the storms and the calms, through every high and through every low. Realizing it is all for the glory and all for the honor and all for the praise of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A consecrated life set apart to glorify and magnify my Saviour. A life verse that means so much on so many levels will carry me through every season of my life. And it's this. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Be bold and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Okay. Whoa. I think Tom wants to preach one day. Which is fantastic. That's the call of God on his life, absolutely. And he's going to give himself every opportunity to step into the things that God has planned for him and already ordained. He's gone before him. God's already gone before him in this. You know, and there will be challenges on the way. We know that. There will be, you know, Bible college is not a breeze. It's not a breeze. You will be with some great people. You will have every opportunity. You'll learn with the feet of some great people. But the challenges will come. And as we were singing the song earlier, the song My Lighthouse, I just felt that was a song for you as you step out into this new adventure for the next 3 years. And that I pray that you'll keep coming back to that song. And we often sing it and kids really associate with it. And in fact, if you looked earlier, it was all the kids' workers who were doing these sort of actions that if I try, I get mixed up with. But it's more than a kid's song. It's a lot of truth in it. And that God is going to guide you through, and you mention it, the highs and the lows and the storms and those sort of things. And I really believe God will keep reminding you. I want you to remember that song when you get a bit of a low or a bit of a storm that goes with you. Tom, we bless you, we honor you, we want to pray for you now, that God's favor, his grace, and his provision. And my prayer is that your capacity will be enlarged over these next 3 years. So let's pray. Let's just reach out your hand to Tom right now. Father, we come to you today. We're thankful that you do know the very steps for our lives. Lord, the righteous steps are ordered by you. And Lord, we just want to tap into them today. And I know that's Tom's heart. And Lord, I thank you for this bold step that he's taking. I thank you, Lord, it's a step that's been endorsed by you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've already showed a measure of your provision for him. And we pray that that will continue over these 3 years. Lord, in the very practical and in the very spiritual. Lord, we pray for health and strength for him. We pray, Lord, that he'll make some great friends, great relationships and connections in his years of study. That, Lord, he would know your favor upon him over and over again. And that people he rubs shoulders with will recognize something of your favor and your grace upon him in these days. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you, Tom.
Thank you. Okay. Okay.
So sometimes, to get that cutting edge, we need to put ourselves in a place of receiving of God's word. Now, not everybody's going to be called to Bible college, but we've all got the resource of God's word available to us. And if you have not, please come and have a word with me afterwards. We'll get you one. We'll get you a Bible. The third thing, having come to a point of admitting sometimes that actually I've lost something over my cutting edge, and then sort of coming to that point of recognizing actually that we can't do this on our own. The third thing the man of God said to the guy who'd lost the axe, he said, "Where did you lose it? Return to where you lost it." How many of us know the best place to look for something is the place where you lost it? Duh, that's obvious. As somebody once said, the last place you look, that's where you'll find it. Just think about that, process that one a little bit. Where did you, if you've lost something of your cutting edge, where did you lose it? Did it happen when I stopped looking at the Word of God regularly, when I stopped praying regularly? Did I sort of sense a bit of loss looking back in my life when I stopped meeting so regularly with God's people? Did I lose it a bit when I got a bit angry with another brother or sister in the body of Christ? Did it happen when I got mad at the preacher that day because of something he said? I know that never happens here. Did it happen when I reconnected with something of my past that wasn't really very good? Started doing things from my past that... Sometimes we can be willing to admit that we've lost something of our cutting edge, but not always want to be too specific of why. And I believe the Spirit of God is saying, where did it fall? Where did it fall? Why did the man of God ask him that? Because I think there's something about returning to where things have fallen. Zechariah, God's speaking through Zechariah the prophet, and he says, "Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you," says the God Almighty. You know, when returning to a place where perhaps things have dropped off, God wants to restore again. And that's where we have to come to the next point, I believe, is we've got to trust God for its recovery. Whatever it is that perhaps is a bit of a lack in our lives, we have to trust him for his recovery. When the young man showed Elisha the place, Elisha cut a stick, verse 6, and he threw it in there and made the iron float. Amazing miracle. I did chemistry physics. And I know iron does not float. It may seem impossible to you. And maybe you've tried in your own strength, and it's just not reconnecting. It's not happening. But actually, sometimes we just need a bit of divine help. Last Sunday, I lost my iPad. Yeah, oh no. Sunday morning, it had come and gone. I'd been leading, and I'd had it in front of me. And I know. Well, now, let me just qualify that. I say I lost my iPad. I'm not sure I lost it. I just couldn't find it. I think there is a... anyway. And so service finished, and I know that the iPad was in Anne-Marie's handbag before we left here. You're jumping to conclusions now, aren't you? Stop it. So, of course, I was on pickup, so I was taking some equipment back to the centre. Anne-Marie walked down to People's Park with our grandson with us. And later on in the day, after we'd returned our grandson to his parents, we got back home. And I said to Anne-Marie, have you seen my iPad? I'm sure it was in your handbag. She said, no, I haven't seen it. Wow. So we started looking. Could not find it. After looking for a mile, Anne-Marie went to the cloud. Some of you looking at me are a bit gone out now. You see, if you happen to have an Apple device, or more than one, you can track them on your phone. There's a little app here called Find My iPhone, and it also will track any piece of Apple equipment that you have. And so we're back at home, and it's dark by this time, last Sunday night, and she turns this app on her phone, and all the Apple devices that we own came up on this map of Waltham. And she says, well, it says it's here. It's here somewhere. Well, it's not in the house. It must be in the car. So I went looking out in the car. And there's an app. Part of the app is you can press it, and it makes an alarm sound on the device that you are looking for. So I'm in the car, looking under the seat, looked in the boot, and she's pressing her iPhone. And all of a sudden, this alarm starts going off. It was a bit muffled. Under the seat, everywhere. It was in the glove box. I hadn't put it there. Anne-Marie hadn't put it there. I told you we were jumping to conclusions earlier. And I thought, that leaves two culprits who are highly most likely to have done it, and that was Pete or Bex. And it was Pete. He, in his kindness, thought, actually, Anne-Marie, go walk into the park in the pushchair, with the pushchair and this open handbag with an iPad in it. It was probably not the best. I'll just shove it in Dad's car and I'll put it in there. Very good.
Forgot to tell him, didn't
he? But he didn't tell us. Here's the thing. I don't go in a glove box in my car very often. So probably, if we hadn't had the cloud, it would still be missing today. For us to get our cutting edge back, to tap into that, there's something about the cloud, the presence of God, that we need. And if you need to know more about the cloud in the Old Testament, just look it up. It was only when we went to the cloud did it get restored to us. God alone can cause hidden things long since submerged to surface so that you and I can take action again. The Apostle Paul talks about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, and he says he was fully convinced that God is able to do what he promises. Trust in God that he can do it. And then somewhere along the line, you have to do something about it. Faith requires some action. So Elisha said to the guy, having now made this axe head float, he says to the guy, now go and pick it up. I don't know whether he had to get his feet wet. The Bible doesn't go into the details, but he had to go and pick it up. Are the things in your life and my life that God is putting his finger on and pointing out to us, even this morning as we are here, and he's saying, actually, pick that up again. Maybe you've neglected a bit of the Word of God. Maybe you've neglected something in prayer. Maybe you've neglected something of gathering regularly with God's people. How many believe that God could have made the axe head fly out of the water and land straight on the handle? He made it float. But he didn't. He asked the man to get involved. God says, I'll do my bit. You do your bit. You and I have got to put action with our faith. Don't just stand around and wait to be amazed. Respond to what God is doing. There's an interesting passage in James chapter 2. I'm not going to read it this morning. But the whole passage from verse 14 to 26 is summed up by the statement, faith without work is dead. Faith without work. Each of us has an anointing for particular tasks. To live this life that God's calling upon us. And to walk into that, we need our axe head attached to a handle. Okay. What about just a little thought on maintaining your cutting edge? Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. How many of you know that's true? You get in the right company with the right people. If you're rubbing shoulders with people who don't always necessarily agree with you, but will challenge you in the right sense of the word, and will draw things out of you and stretch you a bit, wow, there's something of that that creates a bit of sharpening in my life. That's why I spend time in the things that I'm involved with, connecting with other leaders and people who've gone a little bit further and done some things in God that are inspiring and honouring. I'm going to invite our musicians back because I just want to make a final comment before we just pray. In the story, we see the cutting edge restored via a piece of wood being thrown into the river, and it makes the axe head float. 8 centuries later, another piece of wood meant there was the greatest restoration available that mankind has ever seen. When Jesus died on a wooden cross and made a way possible for us to connect into our destiny with him. The restoration of relationship with God, the Father, and with his people. That our sins can be forgiven and punishment cancelled because of what Jesus did. Ephesians 2 tells us that by the grace of God we've been saved through faith. Not our own doing, it's the gift of God. The song we sang earlier had the line, he's got plans to lead us and give us a hope. And if that sense is missing in your life, God wants to restore that today through his son Jesus Christ. That gift of life. I'm going to get us to pray in a moment. Sarah, have we got that prayer on screen for salvation? No, I don't know whether you can find it. I would love us to pray this morning. And just give people the opportunity. If there are people here today who've never given their life to Jesus Christ, you've never come to that point, well, this morning we want to give you that opportunity. We're going to pray together, and I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer if we can find it on screen. If not, our leaders. In one. Okay, I'll pray. It's coming. Okay. I wonder if you could look at the screen. I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus to fulfill what he did on the cross in your life. It's like that stick being thrown in the water. Something supernatural happens as your sins become forgiven and you have right standing with God. And I want us to pray this together. Let's pray. God in heaven, I come to you and acknowledge that I am a sinner. I'm sorry for the wrong things I have done. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and was raised to life so that my sins could be forgiven. I now turn from my sins and receive your forgiveness. Thank you. From this moment onwards, I commit to follow Jesus Christ with the help of your Holy Spirit. Please fill me now with your Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you pray that, if you pray it sincerely, then God wants to come and bring his new life by his Spirit into your life. And I'm going to invite us all to stand. And if you prayed that prayer, I would love to chat to you at the end of our time together. So please don't go shoot it off. I'd love to pray with you. But as we've just gone through this morning and the time of worship and just the presence of God right at the very beginning of our time was wonderful. And it's times like that that help shape and restore something of the cutting edge in our lives. Keep coming to that place of God's presence where in the Old Testament there would have been a cloud. To keep coming back to him. It's great that you're here. It's great that we're here together in that environment and in that atmosphere. But there are people here today maybe who just look and say, actually, I have lost something. I'm not where I was, but I want to get back to where I was, and I want to move forward. And if that's you this morning, we'd love to pray with you. We're going to have a prayer team. They're going to be over in that corner this morning. And so we're just going to pray and then we're going to worship. And we're just going to ask the Lord to do what only he can do as we offer ourselves to him. So Father, we come to you today with grateful hearts. We're amazed that you just provide so much for us. In our humanness, we feel so frail and so ineffective. But Lord, when we come to you and we ask you to sharpen us, and to pour in your gifts and your strength and your power, then, Lord, by your grace and your amazing love for us, you respond. And, Lord, we ask that you would come right here, right now, in this place. And where people are just looking to you, where they're admitting they've lost something of that cutting edge, Lord, that you would restore it today as they come back to you. So, Lord, do your work in us, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.